This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And you need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast.
I've said it before on this show, and I think it's something that is going to be a recurring theme as we move forward into 2019. And that is that to succeed in life, you need other people. You need other people. There's a temptation for a lot of us, particularly those of us who come from the veteran community, once you get out of the military, to go out there and become a lone wolf, right? To try to go after things for yourself and to involve yourself with as few of people as possible. It's a strong temptation because a lot of us just want to be left alone. Here's the thing. If you're going to accomplish anything in this life, you're going to need the help of others. People are going to have to invest in you, and you're going to have to invest in other people. And building a network is one of the most important things you can do, both in your personal life, but also in your professional life. You're trying to do anything great here on this earth, which, if you have a life, you should be trying to do something great, right? You've got limited time on this earth. Why not? Well, if you're going to try and do anything great, you need to be able to do this. The gentleman I have on today, Mr. Joshua Prado, he is a master networker. He's a really, really good at connecting people and at interacting with people and helping other people to accomplish their missions. Joshua is the founder of the Vetted Talent Network, and he is constantly helping other veterans to succeed, to communicate their messages, and to get their work out there. I wanted to bring Joshua on today to talk about his work and to give you some insights on how you can better develop your network and communicate with others to let them know what you're doing. And also to talk about how you could potentially bring value to your community. It's a really interesting conversation. Joshua is a U.S. Navy veteran, and we connected a few months ago, and he's come to become one of my good friends here in the veteran community, and I thought you guys would get a lot out of this. Before we get into that conversation, I just want to say this. This podcast would not be possible without the good people at F-Bomb Nutrition. They make awesome, delicious packets of macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with pecan butter. And they're sending packs of this stuff to troops out there on deployment so they could supplement their MREs. Really great people. If you want to try their F-Bombs or if you want to try their new cheese snacks, you can head over to www.dropanfbomb.com. Use the code WarriorSoul at checkout to get 20% off your first order. And you can support an amazing company doing amazing things for our brothers. With that, let's get into this conversation with Mr. Joshua Prado of the Vetted Talent Network on the Warrior Soul Podcast. So, dude, tell us what you've been working on, because you've been working with the Vetted Talent Agency, and you're one of the most interesting dudes I've met over the last year. So tell everybody what you do.
I work in between the lines with a lot of veteran-owned brands or nonprofits just to further their mission to either grow their brand or just create amazing opportunities in our community here in San Diego. So, yeah, it's just a lot of opportunity, a lot of movement forward just in the last couple months and in the last year. So I've just been having my hands in a little bit of everything and getting to know people and building my network outside of the network that I had through normal career path. So more on the entrepreneurship side now.
How'd you get into doing this? Like what was the impetus?
Well, originally I was looking into doing consulting. I know you do a little bit of consulting yourself as well, but the reason was I was looking for something a little bit more flexible, something that I could do on the side that my expertise, lent me toward. And consulting was one of those things, and I couldn't really figure out exactly. You know, I'm a business major. I also have a teaching background in my master's, and so I was thinking about doing some sort of business consulting. And I couldn't really pin down what exactly it would be that I would specialize in. So I kind of looked back at my career, which was a lot of different industries, working from telecom to higher education. And a lot of what I did was I was always working with transitioning military guys. And so informally or formally, I would do mentoring and training and coaching and things like that. And so I decided that I could best help the community, or I could, do the most impactful work by actually helping coach veterans transition, not just from a standpoint of a degree plan, which is what I was doing at University of Phoenix, but also on the front of health, wealth, and happiness. So kind of along the lines of what like a life coach would do. So just more, a little bit more in depth, but along the same lines as what a lot of people do in coaching and consulting.
So what are some of the big mistakes you see people making in their transitions? Because there's a lot of guys who are getting out right now. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do. What do you think's the biggest thing that holds them up?
I think it's mindset and also just their perspective on certain topics and certain words, like thinking that transition, as we understand, is a lifestyle. it's not something that you just do and like you're out of the military and now you've transitioned. It's something to where you're continually growing. You're leaning on your community. You're surrounding yourself with mentors. You're going to school. You're learning something new, like doing jiu-jitsu. Like you're continually growing and growing. And so I think it's unique. I mean, for my background, my biggest pain point was transition. I felt like that I was just by myself when I got out, and maybe back then, I probably wasn't, but I felt that way. And so it just kind of became something that I like to help people out with. And so that translated into kind of what I'm doing now a little bit, but yeah, originally it was very difficult for me because, I felt like it took me, 10 years. And if I could tell somebody how to do the exact same things or kind of go down that path in, 2 years or 3 years, even, I feel like that's doing them a service by just giving them the shortcuts, to how to think the right way, how to do the right things and surround yourself with the right people. So,
yeah, you talk growth. I think it's so important because if you, let's say, quote unquote, transition and you transition to doing something where you're at right now, right? You're not going to end up in a position where you're going to be able to grow. I think a lot of guys, when they get out, they kind of paint themselves into a corner as far as growth goes by not really exploring, right? And not really looking around at the different options out there.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of it has to do sometimes with their personality. So, they may not even be, we emphasize networking, we emphasize getting out there, building themselves in the community, doing a lot of things that may be unnatural to them, regardless of if they join the military or not. Like this, so one of the first things that I do, if somebody reaches out to me in regards to either their business or learning about their personal brand or just transitioning out, of the service, is doing like a Myers-Briggs personality test and figuring out like what exactly, who they are and how we can build upon that. And, sometimes that just has to do with just their personality and finding those things out up front. Somebody may have never, tasked them to do something that in depth and really factor that into, you know, they just go, okay, your MOS was this and, or your rate was that, and, you know, here's what you can do after, but they don't take into account personality, lifestyle, you know, percentage of travel that you'd be comfortable with, and a lot of other factors that, you know, I kind of dig down a little bit deeper in when I'm thinking about, you know, helping somebody move forward.
That and leadership. I mean, the ability to understand leadership, understand other human beings, understand what motivates them to do things, you know, that's huge as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And motivation, actually, the other day, because I have a friend of mine who's just really just a very motivating individual. He is he's motivating Marines every day down here in Oceanside. His name's Koke. And everybody kind of looks up to him as far as like motivation on like the fitness side. But, you know, as I was thinking about that and kind of what he's doing, and I'm doing some things kind of around that and helping him as well. I looked at the definition for motivation, and it actually had to do with, you know, defining and clarifying and giving people their purpose, like finding their why. It's not just telling them to do pushups or yelling at them and things like that, but actually, you know, going deeper. And if you're motivating somebody, you're helping them find their why. And it directly translates to when I would help people, you know, get on the path to get their degrees. They'd say, okay, hey, I'm getting out of the military. You know, I want to use my GI Bill. I want to go to school for that. And, you know, I didn't just accept that as motivation, because right. You could very easily fail from that point. But what I'd have to dig into, like, well, why do you want to go to school? Like, what really motivates you? And so I think that's at the core of anybody, you know, whether it be, you know, because you're the first person to go to school in your family, or because, you know, you have a kid and you want to provide a better life for them. Or just you know, it's a challenge, but either way, like, just the motivation factor is all about, you know, finding your why. And if you don't know that, then, you know, you're going to hit those bricks and those are those walls. You're going to hit those days that you don't want to do homework. You're going to hit those days that you don't want to, you know, clock in or go to the gym. And, you know, that's why, you know, we listen to, you know, all these motivational speakers and read these books like Jocko and all that stuff. But I mean, essentially, they're all going back to the same factor, which is, you know, finding your reason that goes above and beyond, like, how you feel. Like, your feelings don't matter, you know, but you do have a reason that drives you. That's your engine. So, you know, understanding that, you can really motivate people a lot more than just the surface level of, like, you know, do some push-ups, do some pull-ups. And, you know,
Right. And it's got to be more than just, I want a degree, right? It's got to be
yeah.
because, I mean, honestly, a degree isn't what it used to be either, right? It back in the day, it was like the key to everything. Now, I think a lot of guys don't understand that they've got a lot of value already. And college is just going to be your opportunity, I think, to network a bit more, to add the icing on the cake, and to really, really, you know, maybe potentially get some new skills. But if you go to college and let's say, I don't want to pick on any one major, but let's say you major in something like dolphin love behavior strategies, right? Something like that, right? That's something that's not going to be very valuable. It's not going to help you, right? It's not really going to help you to do what you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you want to have something that's relevant to, that you can actually use. I mean, the gap between being effective in the workforce or in whatever you're going to do is learning something practical as well. So you can't just, you know, go to school, or you can't just take courses and let them not apply to, you know, to something and and assume that's going to change anything at all. But yeah, of course. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that may or may not be relevant that people do in college or just, you know, otherwise they take courses or they take you know, classes that they think might help but really have no really value on the outside. So, and then people get jaded and they get upset at the system and kind of negate the whole thing. But that's the interesting fact. I've actually been an advocate for education as well, because I know we're shifting a lot into entrepreneurship. But what's helped me and what's, I really was able to have a testimony to was, the impact of getting a degree. I know that we're really heavy into the entrepreneurship side now, and that's the area that I work in a lot now with veteran entrepreneurs, but, it did make a huge impact for me to, you know, to go to school. I spent hours and hours and hours outside of my job when I was managing a retail store, you know, writing papers on business while I was managing a business. And I think that it was, to me, it's a 50-50 split still. Like, it's like, you know, you can look just like a class, like you can learn about things on paper, but if you can't apply them in real life, and we have people on both sides of the fence on that. And so, yeah, interesting enough, I have a friend who strictly just went into entrepreneurship since a younger age. And now he's recently gone back to school, or you even see, you know, Jocko Willing, people like his podcast a lot. And he talks about, you know, going back to school after the SEALs and just kind of doing that as a challenge, as a badge of honor, and as just another way to grow. So I don't want to knock school because, you know, once again, I worked in higher education and I saw the impact of my salary, you know, doubling after I got a degree, and not just because I, you know, had the degree, but I was able to use it. And interesting enough, you know, it's kind of like the poster child for a military veteran getting out, going to school, using their GI Bill while working full time, and then being able to apply it into a relevant career field. So I've been blessed to actually work in the field that I've got my degrees in. And I've actually, until recently, spent 6 years in school and went to school through University of Phoenix online the entire time. So, and I would contend that I can hang with the best of them that have went to Ivy League schools that I know are officer candidates and folks that I hang around with. You know, we're on the same wavelength, and I appreciate that. And I think it was just because of you get out what you put in. So that's
I'm probably overeducated. I went through bachelor's, master's, PhD up at UC Santa Barbara, and then but for me, I think I had getting just enough school is the way to go. You don't want to do what I did. I spent too many years in school, and some of it was valuable. All right, the PhD work, some of it helped me to be more analytical, but there's going to be a point in time where you got to say, all right, time to get out in the world, right? Time to get out there in the world and do it. And I think,
oh, definitely. Yeah. And you have to do it in parallel. And I think that's, yeah, do it in parallel to what you're doing in the community. So, you know, what I'm big on and how I got involved with a lot of the things down here is, you know, I would say to somebody, you know, don't just go to school, but, you know, figure out what your local community looks like, whether it's the, you know, any sort of veteran service organization or nonprofit or mentorship program or workshop, and get involved and kind of get out there and see, you know, what's going to help you, you know, not just school, not just, you know, just entrepreneurship and being by yourself and figuring it out, but just everything in between. So, this last year has been great. And that's probably how we came across each other, was just me being, getting more involved in understanding, you know, what's the go-to, for me, and I could share it with other people. So like your podcast and you know, a couple other ones have been really, really great for me to share with other people. And so that was my intent, was I intended to to just reach out and, you know, go to everything. And it's not a problem for me. I'm an extrovert. I'm a one of the extreme cases of I get energy from people and things and going out. And so, you know, it wasn't a problem for me to go out there and experience it. But I didn't want to experience it for myself because, you know, I may have already in that space accomplished whatever those people are trying to accomplish with finishing school or finishing a master's or working in a career. I was mostly out there because I wanted to experience it and share it with other people. And so there's enough work just here in San Diego alone, with all the bases and with all the community here that, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of people to meet and a lot of organizations to help. And, that's pretty much, you know, the community that's down here, and you're in California as well, so you're probably well kind of.
Hello. Oh, I think you cut out, buddy. There you go. You're back.
Oh, yeah.
You're back now. Yeah, no, I'm there's a lot of military bases out here in California. I'm down at 29 Palms all the time. Haven't been down to San Diego as much as I'd like to be. but there's tons of stuff going on out here, and there's tons of different people. I need to, and that's something I need to work on, is definitely getting out there in the community more, right? And we've got this podcast, but it feels like there needs to be more events out there. There needs to be more events.
Yes. And yeah, I'm events, excited. Not just in San
Diego, but outside or all around California, right?
Oh yeah, most definitely. And that was the thing too, as well, is, you know, it's a very small, community when it comes to the people that are doing things in their city. Like if you go out there, what I recognize, and it probably is the same for other parts of the country, is the same people that are doing mentorship, online, or that are leading nonprofits, that are, you know, being the advocates for a cause, or being the veteran leaders at work, are a lot of times the same, you know, 4, 5, 10 people. So it doesn't take long. But once you all get together and collaborate, you know, what I've seen is just, over the last year, I've, you know, been able to build great relationships with some of the people in our local community, and understand and pass on the information to, the folks that are coming in behind us. And so, you know, that's where, you know, I'm extremely grateful that I've had that opportunity to do that, because, so if somebody talks to me in 5 minutes, they get, you know, 2 weeks worth of information, and they can go write it down and figure out what they're going to do. What event should I go to? Who should I talk to? And, you know, what resources should I key in on? Because it seemed like there were almost too many resources, as opposed to when I first got out, I felt like there were not very many. I could be wrong, but you know, when I got out of active duty, it felt like the job center and the VA rep was, you know, the only people that I could.
What year did you get out?
I got out of active duty in 2007. And then I was obligated to go into the reserves as an active reserve because of the contract that I was on. It was called National Call to Service. And it was post 9/11. They offered contracts. It was a unique thing. It was like, you, instead of doing 4, you could do 2, or, and then you can do active reserve after, and, or, you know, re-up your contract. And so it was like, okay, I don't have to dedicate an entire 4 years to active duty. And then I can get out and I can get half of the GI Bill, because the GI Bill wasn't out at the time. The post 9/11 wasn't. So it was half of the Montgomery. So it's like, okay, I'll get some school money. I'll serve my country. And then I'll get out. And then, and it didn't work out like that in terms of, I actually ended up doing active reserve, but, I ended up doing another 8 years. And so I did a total of, over 10. And then I ended up going from really being detached and being angry at the military to appreciating it, and actually putting in for an officer package and going down that route and really turning everything around. So, and that was a testament to some mentors and some people that helped.
Did you go through OCS and everything?
No. I actually, at the time that I had everything put together, I actually decided to move back down to San Diego. Mm-hmm. Just with some personal circumstances. And I got offered a job with the University of Phoenix. Originally, it was for a defense liaison position. And then I was looking, and then actually ended up going into as an enrollment rep for the business school that they have down here in San Diego. And it was me and a bunch of officers, actually a logistics officer from the Air Force, a helo pilot. And so it was a really hardcore group. And I was like, wow, it was really... we made a big difference on quite a few people, I believe. But yeah, the opportunity to go to grad school through University of Phoenix, because if you are an employee, you actually could go to school for free, or at least partially paid for. So I finished up grad school through there, as opposed to doing the OCS program. And it kind of set me on the path that I'm going on now. And yeah, I mean, at one point in time, I think that was the carrot that was dangling, was to serve my country as an officer and either go admin or supply or some other something. And ended up now is where, you know, people reach out to me that are officers or are senior enlisted to try and help them get out and transition. So it's a unique twist. And you know, so I feel like, you know, I made the right decision in doing that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I went in and I joined the military in 1999. And at the time, It was President Clinton, all right? And I think I say that, and that sounds so old. I sound so old. But back then, I mean, pre-9/11, going into the military was like an act of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody wanted to. I mean, and I'm from New England, so like, no, everybody was like, college this, college that, like, you know, there's never going to be a war again, that kind of stuff. You know, going in was like literally an act of rebellion. But I will say this, going through, like, so it was also awesome. It was also awesome because, training was just, it was amazing. You're in like a position where nobody else in the country was in, like very few people could ever say they did what you were doing. And you had so much fun when you're on your off time. Just because it was just amazing. And then I remember when 2001 hit, and it was just kind of like a huge wake up call for all of us.
Yeah, it's I give a lot of credit to those who, like I said, a lot of the people that I know, we joined after the 9/11 incident, because we, you know, that either, you know, affected us greatly, you know, seeing that happen while we were still in school. And then serving our country, you know, and feeling that obligation due to that. But like you said, you know, prior to that, you know, was that more of a career choice, or, you know, maybe an alternative path to, you know, the way that you were going. So, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of either uncles that are, my dad was a Marine. Both my grandparents were Navy chiefs. And so that's kind of part of my story as well. You know, they came from the Philippines, and they, you know, became, that's how they came over here. Both on both sides of my family were, was due to the Navy. So I ended up joining the Navy as opposed to, the Marines or, the Army, which we had, and my brother's in the Air Force actually right now. So we're pretty much all over.
What'd you do in the Navy, man?
I did avionics for F-18s, the older Charlies, all the way down up to the Supers. And actually, when I was back in San Diego, I was in a Hilo squadron for some time as well. So
awesome. Yeah, you know, and the thing I like about you, Joshua, you're what I would consider a master networker. You know everybody, I thought I knew a lot of people when I met you. We're like. And you're like, oh, I know this guy, I know that guy. And you're actually responsible for getting a lot of the guys that we've got on the show onto the show, like Remy Adelecki and Dave Bray, USA, those guys, really some of the best episodes we've had. So.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. And it, for me, I know that the feedback even from Remy is that sometimes when I'm speaking with folks, it may seem like that I was like name dropping or whatnot, but my goal is and that kind of falls into the publicity area of what, you know, I feel like I'm capable to do, which we don't really have very much of in our community, is PR. And that was the gap that I saw, that from going from, you know, veterans into careers. You know, there's a lot of stuff that circles around that, but the people that you have on your show and the people that, you know, that I gravitate towards, like learning from, are the ones who have taken another alternative path, which is into entrepreneurship. And you mentioned Remy, you know, going from a Navy SEAL to an actor and a model, you know, those things, you know, it's like, I can hear all day about, you know, somebody developing a business plan, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't in his business plan. So, you know, those are the stories that people want to hear about, and that interests me is something that's outside of, you know, and that kind of goes to being like a lifelong learner. Like, I feel like, you know, I'm doing a second master's right now, and like, I can hear all about business all the time, but I'd rather learn about how somebody, and a lot of it, what we've emphasized, especially sitting in on the transition workshops and a lot of the programs that they do in San Diego, is they're emphasizing networking. And I think we can't emphasize networking and mentorship enough to say that, you know, it does mean something to understand like who you know and how to leverage that and how to get in the back door and get your resume seen or build a business because you're familiar with this person and that person knows that person. And sometimes, like I said, skillfully managing those things, not to name drop or seem, you know, cocky or that you're big, but because though we need to help each other out, you know. Right. And I think a lot of the people that you have on your show and a lot of the veteran entrepreneurs are extremely accessible to people, and they want to help. You know, they've built companies like, you know, 5-Eleven or Black Rifle and all these great companies, but they're not trying to keep it to themselves. And I think that's a unique thing for our community, is being able to reach out to each other and grow and learn together. So we're just in this wave of post 9/11 veterans to where we're helping each other like come up together. And I think that's big. So even though you mentioned like the people that you've had on the show are quote unquote big names in our community, but each and every single one of them, you know, they'll get back to you, or they're open to share, you know, through their books or through their podcasts or in person, you know, how they got to where they're at.
Well, there's an art to approaching somebody in a networking fashion too. And I'll say this, because I get a lot of messages from, I got a lot of great messages from people that I love responding to, I love talking to. And then I'll get some message from somebody saying, "Hey, I'm a super ripped fitness athlete. Will you sponsor me for my next competition?" And I'm like, dude, don't ever do that again. You know what I mean? So in your mind, what is the art of connecting with somebody? How do you approach somebody?
Oh, definitely. I would say this is another, you know, a lot of what I'm going to say is just best practices in an industry or just in a relationship building in general, is having something to offer that other person. It's just not seeing it as a one-way thing. So, especially like you mentioned, the example of a fitness influencer or a fitness celeb, you know, trying to look for sponsors, is, you know, what does the other party, you know, have in, that they're going to gain from bringing you on or sponsoring you? And I think, you know, it could be maybe for that particular industry, you're not necessarily going to have a pitch deck, right. But they need to see maybe some analytics to as you know, I have X amount of followers on YouTube or Instagram, or I have a team, then we can promote your you know, product or service at our event, at the Fit Expo or something. So, you know, I think just having something to offer up front, and also just not even going in there in a mindset of that everything needs to be a business deal right up front. Like everybody's expecting like a card exchange, or they're expecting, sure, I'll sponsor your Patreon account, or I'll send you $5,000 to sponsor you or send you some product. But a lot of times, you know, from some of the best in our community, I think there's a mixture of friendship and business that I'm okay with, which is that, you know, maybe, like I said, those people hear people asking them for money all the time, and they just want to know your story, and they want to know you as a person. And from there, they might be like, okay, you know, maybe I could consider sponsoring this person or investing in their business. And a lot of it is social proof. Like, what have you done before to show that, you know, whatever you're saying is valid? So I think if you create something and you've been doing it, it's a lot easier for an investor to look at what you're doing and say, okay, I'll invest in that.
Yeah. The hard thing I noticed is for people to understand is that there's got to be a relationship first, right? And so you got to dig that well before you're thirsty. You got to dig that well before you're thirsty. And if you want to really establish good relationships with people, you got to establish them based on mutual value, right? You got to bring something to the table. You got to help people out. When I meet somebody, I'm constantly, first thing in my mind, like I meet Joshua, and first thing in my mind is, all right, who can I connect him with to help him out? Right. And if I meet somebody, I'm like, who can I connect them with to help them out? How could I help this person out? You got to adopt that mentality. If you can adopt that mentality, you'll get so much in return. You know what I mean? And that's what I found. The more you can help people, the more they're going to help you.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And it's not just, I think some people also, maybe they do that a little bit too quick. They you barely meet them and they're like, hey, you're doing marketing, I need to introduce you to this other guy that does marketing too. And you don't even know enough about them or their company at that point that they've jumped the gun. Because and interesting, just from my background, I've adopted a lot of practices and methodologies from other industries into my way of thinking. And one of them is instructional design from learning and development. And you'd say, how does that apply to networking? But whenever you design a course, you actually go through a process, which is, instructional designers call ADDIE. It's very like analysis, design, develop, implement, and execute. And actually, when it comes to that with building a relationship, like you would build a course in a class, the first part is analysis. So that's getting to know that person, getting to know their business. And for me, that could be knowing their personality type. That could be knowing and like I said, not to leverage that in any sort of way for your personal gain, but just because you can't accomplish that, anything in that relationship or build a business relationship until you know that person. And so, the biggest takeaway I would say from, your question on where people fall short in a networking is not giving it enough time. And maybe not, you meet somebody on a Saturday and you don't call them, the following Tuesday and have a conversation. Or, a lot of people invite people out for coffee. They always say that, but then you never do coffee. But at the very least some of them, you actually end up meeting for coffee, but everybody just says it and half the time, they don't schedule something. So that, I think that's a little difficult, but the gist is that in between the week, in between the lines, that's when those relationships are built, and inviting somebody out to an event you're going to be at where you might have a little bit more time to speak with them, or figuring out where they have a hole in their schedule and they can talk to you for 10 more minutes. Because at a networking event or at a conference or at a 5K, a lot of times these people that are the ones that you're trying to connect with, you're trying to connect with them because they're doing a lot of stuff and they're doing great things, but they may not have the time at that moment to speak with you and help you with what you're doing. And it's not that they don't want to, it's just like we're being respectful of their time. And, you're looking up to them because they're doing 10 different things. Well, they may want to help you, but it might be on Tuesday from 12:30 to 12:35. So kind of just figuring that out and knowing that, and being respectful of that, that 5 minutes could change your life, but you forgot to, schedule that, or you don't make that a priority. So, and that's for a lot of times informal mentorship, but there are programs, and I don't think we mentioned it enough, but there's a program, a digital platform called Veterati, where you can book a call with a city mentor through your LinkedIn profile. And it's just like booking a haircut, and it'll call them automatically. And you don't even have to, it'll sync to their Google Calendar. So, there's services out there and resources that are light speed ahead of what was out there when I transitioned, and I'm sure when you transitioned as well.
What's the link for Veterati? I want to put that up on the show notes for everybody.
Oh yeah, it's www.veterati.com. So that's Veterati.com. And I think Diana and Daniel Rao, R-A-U, founded this company, and it's just been such it's the number one thing that I mentioned to somebody in terms of a resource that they can use is you can reach out to somebody in New York that is in the career field that you want to be in, and you can schedule a 1-hour phone call with them, and your phone will automatically call them if they've accepted the meeting. So there's no other resource that is that high speed to really cut straight to the core of what you're looking at finding out. So
that's awesome. It's
from the horse's mouth right away. So
That's awesome. Well, Joshua, number one, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. I think it's very, very much needed. And I want to thank you for being a good friend, man. You've helped us out a lot here on the show. You've helped out, you've helped me out quite a bit, and you're a great dude. How can people find you?
They could reach out through LinkedIn. I have it up right now. Just I'm looking through some profiles, because I actually do headhunts. I do recruiting for Military Talent Partners, which is a new firm that's helping military spouses and veterans get hired at great companies. So But LinkedIn is probably the best. It's Joshua Dominic Prado. It's D-O-M-I-N-I-C. And then as far as social media goes, Instagram.
Hello.
I would, like I said, I appreciate you having me on, and I'm curious as to, you know, what content and what things like value I could bring, you know, at this point. And, you know, I'm kind of always running around doing different things, but I really appreciate you just spending the time. And I think we've covered a lot of topics that people are curious about in terms of getting out of the military or relationship building and how they can, you know, grow, learn and grow.
Absolutely, man. And we're gonna get this show out, and you know, for everybody out there, you know, think about everything Joshua talked about today. Think about all the amazing resources that you guys have, as opposed to, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, there weren't these kinds of resources out there for people. There's really been an awesome infrastructure, not by the government's hands by any means, but by veteran hands that have been built to help guys out since we've gotten out, and you guys should take advantage of all of these things. So, any last words to the community out there, Joshua?
No, I just reach out to each other, just, you know, help each other out and be available, but also know that the folks that are out there in the community are just as accessible through these resources that we've mentioned. And you know, I think the biggest takeaway is understanding not so much that, you know, the next step is just black and white, but it's something that is a lifestyle and is a community, and getting attached to, like I said, the biggest takeaway is reach out to somebody else in that's doing what you want to do, and that can help you out. And that's just going to open up amazing doors. Just, you know, whether it's a local nonprofit, whether it's a church, whether it's somebody that you see that is on Instagram just killing it. You know, you know, I know just everybody in what I've seen from the veteran transition specialists all the way down to the veteran entrepreneurs, where they're doing amazing things. And, you know, people are just not even aware of some of the things that are out there. And every single day I'm amazed to see, like, oh, wow, we have this resource. And there's this award show in DC, the Vetties, that is like a big Oscars ceremony for people that are doing things in our community that people might not even be aware that we have something like a gala that's you know, in a venue that is that nice and has celebrities attend. You know, so I think we're uniquely qualified, which is something that Mark Rockefeller from Street Shares, which is another better known company, had mentioned. We're uniquely qualified to solve the problems in the world today because of the fact that we're veterans. And so a lot of people have strayed away from attaching their brand or themselves to the veteran aspect. But I think it's really, really important to leverage that, because not only are we very, very helpful to each other, but I think we're going to be very, very helpful to the world. So
absolutely,
leave it at that.
Absolutely. Well, you guys heard it. Now get out there and, you know, get out there and help people, get out there and solve problems, and get out there and live your best lives while you can. We'll be back at you guys next week with another awesome episode.